Hello and welcome to Witchy Woman History. I am your host, Danae Sweet, and this is Season 1, Episode 1. So yes, I'm back. Woohoo! I'm very excited to be back doing podcasts again. This is a spinoff off of my first podcast, Witchy Woman Podcast. I ended that this year, and I took the summer, the fall, the spring, whatever. I took most of this year to just kind of relax and kind of decompress, do my own thing for a while. I didn't even do readings. I kind of just shut down for a while, which is what I absolutely needed. So this podcast is for those who want to know more about the people that the patriarchy has vilified, pushed down, made a scapegoat of, or silenced in order to create the illusion of a male-dominated world. I knew at some point I was going to start another podcast after I ended the other one, but I wanted to be inspired. I wanted to make sure that, that fire in my belly was lit and I had passion and I was excited about something. And this I am so fucking excited about. This is not a podcast that you should play around your kids. I'm going to cuss. I'm going to say all of the words. It is who I am. And if you don't like cussing or talking about ways that I would like to destroy the patriarchy, then this is not the podcast for you. So for this podcast, I might go in chronological order as far as like the subjects that I cover. But then again, I do like chaos, so I don't know, I might just jump around. So just be ready for a story each month that highlights those quote-unquote nasty women, that includes the theys and the gays and all of their stories. So I want to introduce myself for those of you that haven't met me through the Witchy Woman Podcast. I am a practicing witch of over 20 years. I'm a psychic medium and Reiki master teacher. I graduated with a certification in clinical hypnotherapy and a mind-body wellness practitioner certification from Southwest Institute of Healing Arts in Arizona. I live in the middle of fucking nowhere in Nebraska. I'm surrounded by conservatives that think I am what's wrong with America, right? I am a mom and a wife. I'm a crazy animal person with way too many animals under my care. But that's the way I like it. I prefer the company of horses over pretty much anyone. I can't help it. I am who I am. I'm also a neurospicy person and struggle with depression, ADHD, and I'm in the middle of getting my official diagnosis, but tentatively, it's EDS, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And I'm getting control over my health and my mental health, both. I'm just, you know, working on myself over here. Because I'm an overshare, as you just heard, you'll for sure be hearing about shit that happens in my life from time to time, and I'm just going to apologize for that up front because it's going to happen. I can't help it. I started Witchy Woman Podcast in January of 2019, I think. Yeah. And it ended this year in 2023. I needed a break, but I am back. So if you do want to check out Witchy Woman Podcast and haven't listened to it, or if you just want to listen to it all over again, it's still online everywhere podcasts are streamed. You can go to my website, witchywomanpodcast.com, and check out kind of a little bit about me there. And there's some links to all my stuff. I want to say up front that when I refer to women as targets of the patriarchy, I'm meaning all who have been targeted by the oppressive demonization due to just being different or being a threat to the church. So it's implied. But I want to be very clear that there will also be stories about the theys and the gays on this podcast, because the evil of the patriarchy has many victims, right? This podcast is for everyone, not just witches, that wants to learn more about how history has demonized powerful women in history, including women, theys, and gays in theology and mythology. I believe that the strategic blending of truths and narratives to make sure women are the evildoers, the sinners, or the villains is something that needs a giant ass spotlight on, right? There are for sure other podcasts that do the same damn thing I'm doing now. But this one is mine. It's going to have my spin on it. Because I am a practicing witch, it's going to have a lot of witchy, pagany things in it. So be prepared for that. I'm going to share things about my own witchy practice. When it comes to these individuals, some of these stories that I'm going to talk about intertwine with my own spirituality, and those are going to be stories that I share with you. If you're new to my podcasts, I want to let you know that when I do episodes, in the show notes, there will be links that I use for references. There's going to be YouTube videos, things that I talk about on the podcast, everything that I learned these things from, there'll be links in the show notes for that. So make sure whatever you're listening to this on, you click over on the actual episode so that you can see the show notes, and there will be links there for that. So when I did my other podcast, I did an episode a week, which, to be honest, kicked my ass. Like, it was a lot of pressure to come up with topics weekly, get those recorded, edited, and pushed out. So I want to take my time with this one. I want to have fun. I don't want it to be a buttload of pressure on me. So I'm doing one episode per month. This one's coming out on Halloween because it's spooky season. But I will have one episode a month. I think what I'm going to do is pick I think it'll probably be on a full moon. I know that one of my friends, Kim from Your Average Witch podcast, she also comes out like on the full moons, but I'm going to pick one of them, and you're going to have to keep a track, okay? Because I'm a chaotic bitch. Eventually, I'll have a schedule. I got to look at the full moon schedule for next month. But it's probably going to be, I would like to do like the first full moon of the month. I think that's be a great schedule for myself. So since this is coming out on Halloween or Samhain, I want to know what y'all are doing. So you're going to have to check out my social media. Go on Instagram or Facebook. Either way, I'm going to post on both. And tell me what you did. What your plans are, not what you did, but what your plans are for tonight. As far as your witchy practice, did you do anything over the weekend? Here is what I did, because nobody wants to know, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So I moved from San Diego back to my home state, like, what, in 2010, January of 2010. And I really haven't done anything for Halloween since, because there's just never anything to do here for Halloween. I'm like in the middle of like Protestant doom and gloom. So like people trick or treat, but they're like, that's evil if you celebrate it too much. But a local bar, and when I say local, it's an hour away. They had a Halloween fun night called the Witch's Ball on Saturday. Me and my husband went, my daughter and her partner went, and it was so much fun. Like, all we did was go there, eat our supper, because it was like you bought tickets and there was supper and there was like music, and it was just like a really cool vibe. And the place is called the Dead Unicorn Society, so that was fucking cool all in itself. We got our tarot cards read, which was very cool. That was included in your price, but we went ahead and tipped her because we all know that we need to make sure that those people are making their money that they need, because it is a draining service to do that all night. And she was the only one doing it, so props to her. Of course, my ancestors, like, she starts my card reading, and immediately my ancestors were like, nope, my daughter's peeps would like to come through and talk to her. So, like, my reading was my daughter's reading, and then she went ahead and read my own cards, which were very accurate. I don't normally get my cards read. I don't read my own cards very often, and when I get somebody else to do it, I usually am super picky about who taps into my energy, but I felt like, why the fuck not? So I got my tarot cards read, and she was spot fucking on. Like, she knew about things in my husband and I's relationship that were going on, but she also knew about this podcast, which is why I'm telling the story, because she was like, wait, you're starting on a new venture, like kind of like a job, like career, but not. And like, she's like, what's going on? What are you doing that's new? Like, what choices have you made to make this thing happen? And immediately I'm like, oh my God, you're talking about the podcast. Like, I felt like that was, I don't know, it just felt very serendipitous that that come up in a reading. It just confirmed to me that my spirit team, my spirit peeps are like, you should do this. You should definitely keep doing this. So I just wanted to share that with you because I thought it was kind of cool. I guess we should actually get on to talking about Lilith, right? So I wanted my first episode of this podcast to be about Lilith. And I think that she is what I think is the first documented example as far as like theology goes, of the patriarchy vilifying a woman to gain power over others. Like, I went way down the rabbit hole and I realized that, you know, I am going to talk mostly about Lilith, but it wasn't just about Lilith in that whole mess. It was also about pitting like two women against each other to color the entire matriarchy as sinful or evil, or color, you know, females in general as sinful and evil by nature. It was creating a narrative that there are two types of women: evil whores and innocent, obedient ones. Like, it just fucking pisses me off just saying that. And the way they portrayed this is that in both types of women, the patriarchy says that in them resides evil and rebellion, just because it is what it is. After all, we're just, that's just the nature of females. That's bullshit. So I'm going to tell you the story of Lilith, but I do have to include Eve a bit because she was also a victim and a target in this whole fucking mess as well. So what do you think of when you think of Lilith? Like, do you think of her as an entity, a deity, a person, a character in a book? Like, what do you think of her? I think of Lilith as a powerful feminist icon that dared to tell her husband what sex position she preferred. And by doing something so simple, was cast out of paradise and demonized. I think of feminine rage. I think of her torture by the Christian God by killing her babies daily just for saying that she's a top. Because let's be honest, Adam was for sure a bottom. Not that there's anything wrong with bottoms, because they work just as fucking hard. And I like to switch around too. So sometimes I'm on a bottom, sometimes I'm a top. There is absolutely nothing wrong with either. But as far as the context of this goes, fuck Adam. The portrayal of Lilith as the gender that is sinful was deliberate. And it was meant to cast a shadow on the matriarchal power that reigned long before the patriarchal societies that we see develop after Christianity spread like a nasty fucking virus. It's like the fucking flu. It's like the coronavirus. You can't fucking get rid of it. It's just always around. To push the narrative that women are sinful and drag men down is a dangerous one that has plagued humanity since the beginning. So I'd like to start at the actual beginning of Lilith's story and the first archaeological reference to her in what scholars refer to her as Lilith. So the Burney relief from 19th to 18th century BCE is an image of a female character or figure etched in stone that is associated with her. So I'm just going to pause a moment and clarify CE and BCE. CE refers to Common Era, year one and on. BCE refers to before Common Era, before year one. On this piece of stone, she has feet that look like owl talons. She has wings. She has two lions and two owls on each side of her at her feet. The original coloring of the relief would most likely be, according to archaeologists, be red, black, and white. Her body red, crown, and the hook and rod that she holds in each hand would be gold. There would be some gold highlights on her red wings, and the lions and the owls would be red with white highlights. I found the original coloring to be super interesting because in occult practices today, in like neo-paganism, we see Lilith often represented with the color red. I've seen a ton of candles and like other occult items that represent her in the color red. Often like you'll see it like accented with black, so red and black for her. I even have like this like ceramic praying nun that I got from a lady that I turned into a Lilith devotee by painting her with red and black. And I even made this like little rosary complete with her symbol on it. It's super cute. I'll put like a picture of it. I'll make sure I put a picture of it in the show notes and then also on social media so y'all can see my craftiness. It was one of those ADHD hyperfixations. This I'm going to totally go off the rails here. And side note. Okay, so this one lady, the lady that I used to rent my shop space from when I had a shop, she's a hoarder and she collects everything. And one of her collection things that she hoards are ceramic figures, like unpainted ceramic figures. So I went down there with a box and I'm like, hey, can I have some of these? Like, I'll buy them from you. And I got like two giant boxes full of these things and started like painting them black with like glowy eyes. And I put them all over my yard when I lived in town so that like people would drive by and they would just see these like a kitty cat figure with like glowing red eyes like underneath or by the trees. I had a few angels that I painted that way, some cats. I want to say there's, oh yeah, and my frogs. I had frogs that I had yellow eyes that I painted because I'm weird like that. But it was like this weird hyperfixation thing that I did for like 2 weeks and then it was over. Okay, I digress. Sorry. So let's talk about her references in literature. So some of the oldest references go back to the mid-third millennium BCE in Sumeria. In these, she's referred to as like a succubus demon, much like a vampire, not as one individual, but like a group of demon-like female things. In the epic Gilgamesh, she appears as a desert-dwelling being. So picture her in the desert with serpent and eagle like features, and they all live together inside this tree trunk in the Garden of Inanna. So Inanna is the goddess of fertility, sensual love, and wanton sexuality, warfare, sudden death, and rebirth. Rebirth. I'm having a hard time. You're gonna have to just bear with me. This is the first episode of this, and I'm gonna trip over my words because I'm just fucking excited and I can't get the words out fast enough, unfortunately. So she was not just one person. So Lilith was a subcategory of like demon-like beings, okay? And I found some references that said they were female, some references said they were male, some said they were a mix of both. So who knows? But they did have, in certain texts, they had a link to Inanna. And Inanna is that goddess of fertility. And if you're neo-pagan, you probably know a little bit about Inanna. And she's often connected to Lilith. Or sometimes even you'll see her as Lilith. It's like a synonymous. So as I was researching her, I found an amazing YouTube channel called Esoterica, and I really recommend subscribing to it if you like to nerd out on things like this. The host of the channel is Dr. Justin Sledge, and in their series about Lilith, they mention that she may be the oldest character in Abrahamic history. And I find that absolutely, it's amazing, one, that she's the first and oldest character in Abrahamic history, but also that it just shows that Christianity had that intent from the start, to take down women, take down societies that honored women, or at least felt like they were fucking your equal, like everyone's equal. when he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's cool that she was first. And then it immediately pissed me off. He also mentioned that she's a character written about before mentions of even angels and demons. She was before it all. I find that cool as hell. Like, she was the first thing they wrote about, but also it pisses me off that she was the first thing that they wrote about. So according to Dr. Justin Sledge, her name and the etymology of it shows us that she was developed from a simple animal to a demon / sinner that she was eventually portrayed as. So Elilu is an ancient Mesopotamian masculine term, and it was defined as creatures that dwell in trees, mostly thought to be referencing like owls or something. Lilu and Lilitu were defined as creatures of the night. So Lilitu were, that's the female form of that word. Later, Lilu were referred to as wind demons or other demons, like winged night creatures, things that like go bump in the night. The feminine word, as time passed, shifted, and the stories tended to be referencing just the female version of this word, shifting to demonizing the female version of Lilu and Lilitu, which, grr. In the first millennium CE in Babylonian Judaism, she was referenced on incantation bowls with her likeness on them. So these bowls were to keep her away and to provide protection from whomever was in possession of them. So when I looked at pictures of them, they looked just like a big, like, I don't know, those big serving bowls. And they were round. And it's like they write in, like, her image was in the middle. And there was all kinds of writing that kind of spiraled from the inside, you know, from her. And then went up the bowl all the way to the edge of the bowl. And he said that there were all kinds of different incantations, spells, things like that, basically to keep her gone and keep her away from your house or your kids. So I want to share with you one of the earliest texts that vilified her. Here's a bit from the Alphabet of Bensira. And that is B-I-N, new word, S-I-R-A. If you are a fan of the previous podcast that I hosted, I'm shitty at pronouncing names. I do look them up. I promise. I look them up. I listen to them over and over, and I try to say them, and I think I've got it. And then when I go to record this, my mind goes like mush. So I'm very sorry if I did not pronounce that right. The last time I pronounced something wrong on a podcast, I got like hate mail. So please don't send me hate mail. Okay. So I'm going to quote this so you can listen to the actual text. And this was written in the Middle Ages. End quote. So, quote, "When the Almighty, may his name be praised, created the first solitary man, he said, 'It is not good for man to be alone.' And he fashioned for a man a woman from the earth, like him, Adam. He called her Lilith. Soon they began to quarrel with one another. She said to him, 'I will not lie underneath.' And he said, 'I will not lie underneath, but above. For you were meant to lie underneath, and I to lie above.' She said to him, 'We are both equal, because we are both created from earth.' But they didn't listen to each other. And when Lilith saw this, she pronounced God's avowed name and flew into the air. Adam stood in prayer before his creator and said, 'Lord of the world, the woman you have given me has gone away from me.' Immediately, the Almighty, may his name be praised, said to him, 'Adam, if she decides to return, it is good. But if not, then she must take it upon herself to ensure that 100 of her children die each day.' They went to her and found her in the middle of the sea, in the raging waters in which one day the Egyptians would be drowned. And they told her the word of God, but she refused to return," end quote. So in this lore, she was basically given some options by three angels sent by God as to the terms of her return. She basically said, fuck off, nope, not doing that. So God basically cursed her for saying that, and 100 of her children must die a day, and then she's going to haunt children for 8 days after a male's birth and 20 days after a female's birth. But the names of these three angels will be enough to deter her from harming or haunting these children. So I'm not going to say the names of those angels because I cannot. I have tried. I have listened to the YouTube channel that I was watching about her, and he says them over and over, but I can't. So anywho, there's three angels. There's a lot of amulets, and in the incantation bowls, they kind of invoke those angels to get rid of Lilith. So this whole mythos created her as the reason for crib death, because she supposedly hunts and kills children for revenge for what God and Adam had done. So it's like they wanted to portray her as super emotional and overreacting. Is anybody fucking shocked by that? Because I'm not. So basically, Adam was lonely. Their God made him an equal mate, and because men, Adam got pissed off. And of course, the texts are written by men. They deemed Lilith wrong, and by default, a sinner. The first sinner. I think it's super funny that men that wrote the theological texts portrayed women as the original sinner. I mean, how fucking convenient of them. I want to highly recommend the videos on Esoterica. The channel on YouTube, Esoterica by Dr. Sledge, about Lilith. There are two main videos of her and he goes into it so very fucking deep, very, very deep. It's very scholarly in nature type videos, but if you have the time, it's totally worth the watch, because he explains in very tiny detail how Lilith's mythos is created by a bunch of a mix of like translation errors and different deities and all this other stuff, and that's how we come to modern, you know, the modern version of Lilith. I want to talk a little bit about how men turned having wet dreams due to evil women. It's fucked up. So according to the Zohar, an old-ass book associated with the Kabbalah, it was written around 1280. After, it says that after Cain killed Abel, Adam left Eve. Sounds super typical for this alpha male. He left her for 130 years. So he didn't have sex for 130 years. And during that time, though, he had wet dreams. And they say it's because Lilith seduced him and wanted him to impregnate her since she had no man to make her pregnant anymore. So he fathered a whole shitload of demon spawn with her via his wet dreams. Seriously, just messed up. So that's kind of where her story as a succubus was like solidified. They're like, cool, I have wet dreams. It's embarrassing. Let's blame it on women. In later years, she's mentioned in magical texts to be like a way to get occult knowledge and wisdom, as she is, because she is of the divine. She, the divine, God supposedly made her. So she is a link to the knowledge that everybody wants. And I feel like neo-paganism took that part of it and ran with it. To be clear, there's a lot about Lilith that I'm not going to get into because, to be honest, it's super deep. And there's just so much about her that I could go on for days, and I'm not an expert in this. I can tell you what I have learned in simple terms from all the stuff that I've read doing the research for this episode. So, but again, I highly recommend looking up your own, you know, information about, look her up. Google her, go on YouTube, learn about her in your own way as well. But I do want to talk about her and neo-paganism today. So you're going to see her depicted as like a fierce feminist deity to work with, to get like revenge, to smash the patriarchy and so on, which awesome. You'll also see her still demonized by Christians on social media when they see a post about her as a deity. They don't like her. She is most definitely a feminist icon as far as her history goes, and that to me is not debatable. She is, whether you see her as a deity, an entity, or just a character, her story is hella feminist, okay? She did not bend to the will of her husband. She stood up for herself, she had boundaries and preferences, and she told God to fuck off. I do want to talk about something that is debatable. That's her accessibility as a deity or entity to work with in a spiritual practice. Her story comes from Jewish texts. And so is she a deity or an entity that should be considered a part of a closed practice? I took this question to the internets and I searched around to find an answer. And as the internet usually is, it gave me all kinds of different answers. I want to say up front that I am definitely not an expert in Jewish practices, and I cannot speak for them at all. All I can say is that some Jewish people, according to the internets, mainly Reddit, say that she isn't to be worshipped at all. Some say she's part of a closed practice, and some say they do not care what other people do outside their faith when it comes to her and neo-paganism. So, I think for myself, she's not an entity that I'll be involving in my spiritual practice. Have I in the past? Yes, I have. In the past, I definitely have worked with her. I think that when I was going through some really dark shit in a relationship in the past, the idea of her and her history empowered me. I had her image in art all over the walls. I had an altar to her. I have spells I asked her for help with that are documented in my Book of Shadows. Do I still have the art? Yes, I do. I would proudly own more pieces of art depicting her. I think that she is a beautiful story. It's a tragically beautiful story. I think it's sad and at the same time just lights a fire in my belly. She represents to me the first demonized woman. So yeah, I may have art of her. I'll share posts of art that was made about her. But I'm not going to have her involved in my spiritual practice just because some Jewish people don't want us to do that. And that's enough reason for me not to do it. Now, you do you. Like, it's you. It's your practice. You do what you want. But I know someone's going to ask me, do I involve her in my practice? And the answer is no. I want to talk a bit about Eve. So you heard the story. So Lilith's the first wife. It doesn't work out. And then Adam bitches enough that he gets a new wife, Eve. And to make sure that Eve's obedient, they create Eve from Adam's rib so that she could be obedient. So they create what is supposed to be the perfect woman, somebody to obey Adam, to lie underneath of him. And then they create a whole story where she's tempted by the devil or Lilith, depending on what story you want to believe. And she eats from the apple. She gets all the knowledge, right? That's forbidden. So it's her fault. And she's also evil now. So she can't win. She was created to be obedient, and they portray her as being, you know, rebellious and wanting this knowledge she was denied. And that pisses me off too. And it should piss you off as well. To me, this is a way to portray women as rebellious no matter what. It's in our nature. So even if God Almighty made a woman out of clay and it didn't work out, and then made woman out of a man's rib, and we're still evil, then it's just in us. It's ingrained in us that we're evil and that we are rebellious. And that all adds up to, we are not equal. That's the purpose of these kinds of narratives, is to create this story and perpetuate it through generations that women are not equal. All Eve wanted was a goddamn apple so she could know some shit. So we are not allowed, or should not be, intelligent. We should not be striving for information, because, God forbid, we might learn more than men. Because we can't do that, because we can't be equal. But screw that. We are. And I think that by knowing these stories and realizing they are just stories. They are stories written by men to create an unequal world where they can have an illusion of power. They can have an illusion of knowing more than us. But we are women. We have wisdom ingrained into us for fucking generations, forever. I want to talk about witchcraft, spirituality, and Lilith now, and what things she's associated with, if you are interested in involving Lilith in your practice. So back in the olden times when this stuff was written, she was portrayed as having black, long, unkempt hair. So, you know, wild black hair. Nowadays, you're going to see more of her with red hair. You're going to see her unabashedly naked. And I fucking love that for her. The animal you're going to see her associated with, of course, is the serpent. Of course, right? But the serpent sheds their skin. It's a symbol of rebirth and transformation, of healing. It's also a symbol of knowledge. Think of like the little doctor symbol with the serpent wrapped around it. So it's also a symbol of knowledge. She has the knowledge from the tree of life, right? According to her mythos. She also has a glyph, and it's like a crescent moon that like faces to the right with a cross underneath of it. And I will have all of this stuff listed on in the show notes and on my social media. Another animal that she's associated with, of course, is an owl, because in the beginning, that's what Elilitu was an animal of the night, like an owl. And an owl is very much associated with the night and mystery, but also knowledge. Of course, the color red with black as well are colors to depict her. Like, if you're going to have an altar for her, you can put candles with those colors. She's also associated with the crystals of amber, tiger's eye, garnet, bloodstone, and tourmaline. And there's a lot more, but those are just some off the top of my head. The black moon is part of her symbolism. You can see that in astrology as well. Other things that you'll see associated with her that you can put like on your altar are really red wine. Sounds gross, but blood, aphrodisiacs, and of course apples. There's other ways that you can honor her. You can use herbs and burn them. So we've got like mugwort, wormwood, patchouli, vervain, some oils that you can use to like anoint your candles with, or maybe diffuse them or something. So myrrh, dragon's blood, jasmine, cypress, and black pepper. And of course, as I'm saying these, there are others. This is just some of them that you can use. So if you want to make an altar for her, that's some of the things that you can use to kind of honor her in some way. Now, some spiritualists see her as a literal goddess. Some see her as a character from a story. And some see her as a religious figure. And how you see her is going to be very personal to you. Now, even though I do not involve her or ask her of anything in my spiritual practice, I do like symbols of her around just to remind me that we are badass. That this is what the patriarchy has done from the beginning, and that lights a fire in my belly, and I want to fight it in any way, shape, or form that I can. Any action to support someone that is being oppressed by the patriarchy can be an act in her honor. It can be an act of service in honor of her. You know what I mean? So if you're wanting to do things in her honor, stand up for your rights. Stand up for other people's rights that are being taken away. Stand up for the oppression of others. I don't care if they're man or woman or they or gay. If someone is being oppressed, we should stand up for them. So if seeing her symbols on things, if seeing her artwork on the wall inspires you, do it. Put that artwork up. Put that naked, beautiful woman with the serpent wrapped around her beautiful porcelain skin. Put that shit on your wall, okay? It's going to radiate that energy that you are looking for to inspire you to go do the things in the name of the oppressed. And as a white woman, I realized I am not a part of the people that are being oppressed. I have effects of the patriarchy. I have the patriarchy affecting me. That's a better way to say it. But I, as a white woman, and am no way oppressed like others are around the world and in this country. I want to make that super fucking clear before someone comes at me, because I do not see myself in those groups. I have incredible privilege as a white person in this country and in the world, and I recognize it. So simple ways that you can support others that are being smashed down by the patriarchy. Simple things. If you're in a public setting and you see someone hurting, threatening, or getting in someone's personal space that does not want it in there, help them. Go find somebody to help them. But do fucking something, because the way this keeps continuing and perpetuating for generations is if we do not speak up. If we keep our mouths shut, like quote unquote the good women that the Christianity and the patriarchy have tried to tell us we need to be, then nothing will change. It will only get worse. So stand up for others. Speak up. Say something. If you're not able to physically help someone out, if you see someone in trouble, go find somebody that is, or make a fuck ton of noise, okay? I think that there's enough stories throughout our history that have pitted woman versus woman. We have been taught to be jealous. We have taught to be competitive. We have taught we are taught not to trust one another. And that is exactly what they want. So let's stop doing that. Let's support each other. If someone is starting a new business, support them. And if you can't support them monetarily, then share their posts. Tell other people about their businesses. If you have somebody that is passionate about feminism, help them out. What do you want to do? Let's go. You want to go to a protest? Do you want to write an article? Do you want to spread the word somehow? I just support each other, okay? I'm rambling at this point, but support each other. And it can happen on the simple fucking level of, you know, congratulating your enemy, your quote unquote enemy, on their success. I want to give an example. And I do not want accolades for this, but this is how I'm putting that into practice. When I had my shop in, what was it, 2018 to 2019? I didn't have it very long because I had some health stuff. But anyway, while I had it, there was someone in town that also had a small shop. They copied everything I did. They did everything they could to tell people not to come to my shop. It was a big fucking deal. Like, literally had spies come in and copy my recipes because I didn't want people that were allergic to certain oils to grab one of my oils and then come back and say, hey, this, I had a bad allergic reaction. Why the fuck didn't you tell me that peppermint was in this or whatever? So I put all my ingredients on my bottles because I wanted to be safe. And for insurance purposes, I needed to be safe. So she would have people come in there, take pictures of my stuff or buy my stuff and then literally straight up copy it. And that really fucking made me mad. Like, I was furious that somebody just kept copying me, and I felt betrayed by the little witch community that I had there. I felt very betrayed by them. Fast forward to now. You know, I mentioned in the front of this podcast that for the first time since forever, we actually did something on Halloween, and I went to a place called the Dead Unicorn Society. That is the place that used to copy me. She closed the shop that she had and created a restaurant / bar lounge place that is designed for people like us, for the outcasts, for the weirdos, for people who love metal music, for people who are witches and pagans, and we don't have a spot in society. But there, she's creating something that is inclusive. And so I went to support her because she had her very first witches ball, and I wanted to support her and to let her know that I don't hold any hard feelings. When I think about it, I might get a little irritated, but I don't hold it against her anymore because she's doing something to be part of the change, to say, hey, weirdos, here's a place we can all hang out. And it's weird enough, the normies aren't going to want to be here. I think that's fucking awesome. And so I support her. I will go when I go to town. If she's open, if the place is open, I'm going to go have food there. If I can support that place in any way, I'm going to. So I just wanted to just let you guys know I'm practicing what I preach. I want to make change, and I want to support others that are trying to make change as well, even if maybe we didn't start off on the right foot. So if you have somebody that is your frenemy or enemy or whatever, think about why. How did that happen? Why? I know some people don't deserve forgiveness, and if that's the case, then fuck them. But if it's not that way, if it's, okay, shit happened and I can move on from it, then do. Because if somebody is doing something good for society, then we should support them no matter what. Okay, so that is my first episode. I am doing this in seasons, so we'll have season one, episode one is what today is. I would love to hear your thoughts on this episode on social media, so check me out on Instagram at Danae Not So Sweet. And then you can also check me out on TikTok at the same @. And I have a Facebook page called Witchy Woman. I'm going to link all of this stuff in the show notes. That way you can follow, you can find out what's going on. This is going to be an interactive podcast. So I want to know, how do you feel about this stuff? Some plans I have for later on in this podcast venture is that we are going to set up live videos. We're probably going to do some kind of private Patreon thing at some point where I will do episodes and record them and you can watch. My husband is going to definitely be involved in a lot of these because he loves doing it. And then we have some fun things that we want to do. There's some really fun videos that he would like to make. One of them involves me eating a gummy and telling him something about witchcraft. And I think those would be really fun. I think maybe we will have a social media poll and you guys can pick what I get to teach him about while I am heavily medicated on a gummy. Those will be some kind of like Patreon thing. But we're also going to be doing things that are on Instagram, on TikTok, those kind of things. So stay tuned because I got lots of ideas. I'm like, I don't know. This time of year is my total jam. I get super creative. I'm very passionate about things because, you know, it's fucking spooky season, guys. And I was trying to find a way, like I used to end every episode with stay witchy. And this time I want to end it with that's all I have. Fuck the patriarchy.